Good morning, Citywell. For those who are new or don't know who I am, my name is Juan Carlos, or Juan, or JC, whichever you prefer. I'm a student at Divinity School, and I've been attending Citywell for almost 3 years now. Today I'll be preaching for the first time at Citywell, so bear with me. I'll be preaching from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 7, verse 24 to 30. I'll read the passage in Spanish, then in English. Let us stand for the reading of the gospel. Y dice, Jesús partió de ahí y fue al río de Tiro. Entró en casa y no quería que nadie lo supiera, pero no pudo pasar divertido. De hecho, muy pronto se entró de su llegada una mujer que tenía una niña poseída por un espíritu maligno. Así que fue y oró a sus pies. Esta mujer era extranjera, sirofonicia del nacimiento, y lo rogaba que expulsara el demonio que tenía su hija. Deja que primero se sacien los hijos, replicó Jesús, porque no está bien quitarles el pan a los hijos y echárselos a los perros. Sí, Señor, respondió la mujer, pero hasta los perros comen debajo de la mesa las migajas que dejan los hijos. Jesús le dijo, por haberme respondido así, puedes irte tranquila, el demonio ha salido de su hija. Cuando ella llegó a su casa, encontró a la niña acostada en la cama. El demonio ya había salido de ella. And it reads, from there he set out and went away to the region of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know he was there. Yet he could not escape notice, but a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately heard about him. And she came and bowed down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile, a Syrophoenician of origin. She begged them to cast the demon out of her daughter. He said to her, let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs. But she answered him, sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumb. Then he said to her, for saying that, you may go. The demon has left the daughter. So she went home and found the child lying on bed and the demon gone. For the word of God, for the people of God.
Thanks
be to God. Let us pray. Gracias, Señor Jesús, por este día, por este momento. I ask, O Lord, that you be with me, that your Holy Spirit grants me strength, courage, and wisdom to articulate your word for us all today. Thank you for allowing this beautiful morning to be upon us, and I ask that you could open up the minds and our hearts of everyone that is here, including minds, O God. We give you thanks. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I was born and raised in Long Island, New York. My parents migrated to the United States from El Salvador. It's truly an honor and privilege to have been born in America. All thanks to my parents, but specifically my mother, who was the rock of the family. Although my father provided and supported the family, mainly my siblings, because I was not born at the time during the Civil War in El Salvador. But it was the faith of my mother which held and brought the family together in bad times and good times. It was the faith of my mother that allowed her to succeed in giving my siblings and soon after myself a better life, which could have not existed in El Salvador. Growing up, my mother struggled to find a job in New York. She didn't speak the English language. She didn't drive because she couldn't get a driver's license. And didn't have a higher education past the third grade level of school. She finally found a job as a cleaning lady for a prominent Jewish family in the rich side of Nassau County in Long Island. My father was fortunate enough to learn the bare minimum of the English language, enough to pass the CDL exam, get his driver's license, and drive buses for a living. However, my mother did all that she could to help us. Not just financially, but especially spiritually. It was her faith and love that drove her to instill in me and in all my siblings the word of God, values, and beliefs. Dios está con nosotros, she was always saying. But this was not always clear to me. My mom was deported when I was 15 years old, right before starting my freshman year at high school, actually. I didn't understand at the time what was going on or why she had to leave. And soon after, in a way, I kind of resented my mother. In this passage, we see Jesus encountering a Gentile woman, or should I say, a Gentile woman encountering Jesus. Not only is the woman a Gentile, meaning she's not Jewish, but she's Syrophoenician, meaning by birth, she's from the northwestern part of Syria, hence Syrophoenician. Not only is she a woman, a Gentile, a foreigner, but also a mother. Perhaps it was her motherly intuition, love, or spirit that compelled her to encounter Jesus, which is why I chose this text to preach from, because it reminded me of my mother. Scripture says, immediately, a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him. Jesus' reputation of healing people, teaching, and performing other miracles had spread throughout the region outside of Judea. Scripture says she fell down at his feet, which tells me she was desperate and hopeful that something would be done to save her daughter, but only by encountering this Jesus. However, while reading and going over this text, something dawned on me. I had a different sermon. I was preparing to go a different route with this text, but I was perplexed when reading verse 27, which says, he, Jesus, said to her, let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs. Did Jesus just call this woman a dog? I heard many sermons, and I heard it preached in so many different ways throughout my life, but I never caught on to what Jesus says in this verse until now. I think many people, and even myself, overlook or neglect to speak on this particular verse. Nonetheless, Jesus is known to use parables, metaphors, and various forms of teaching to show us, the followers, you know, a lesson or to demonstrate to us how to live this Christian life. For instance, Jesus always asks questions to his disciples, the people he encounters, and when speaking in parables. Despite all this, Jesus refers to this Syrophoenician woman as a dog. It says she fell down or bowed down, depending on which English translation you might be reading from, at his feet and begged him to heal her daughter from this demon. Why didn't Jesus just heal the mother's daughter? Wasn't her bravery of entering a random house to find Jesus enough? Wasn't that a big of a risk already? After all, she was a woman, a Gentile, a foreigner, who was in need and came to this stranger's house, who was hosting this prominent religious figure. His great reputation was known and followed him everywhere. However, he referred to this immigrant mother as a dog. Why didn't Jesus use a different metaphor or word or phrase or different language to reply to her or to teach her whatever lesson that he wanted to teach her? Either way, he could have not insulted this woman by calling her a dog. If someone in front of me called me or referred to me as a wet bag or spick, we'd be fighting. I'm from New York, so, I mean, we don't play that where I'm from. I mean, growing up, you know, this was the norm. Whatever you said out of your mouth, you know, if it wasn't good or something, we would be fight, or we would say, it's beef. Which is why I need Jesus the more. But I want to know why, or I've been asking myself, why or what compelled Jesus to to say this to her or refer to her as a dog. I consulted many commentaries, and none could have given me a better explanation other than he was using metaphoric language. Either way, he called her a dog, but what makes this passage different than any other passages in the gospel is that not only this is not a parable or a parable passage, but rather an actual encounter with a human being that Mark is describing to the readers, which is also described in Matthew chapter 15 as well. What I do know is that Jesus came to embody humanity. He was a baby, grew up, ate, slept, walked the earth, but also he came to give us a glimpse, or rather reminds us of the emotions that we inhabit, that we have, that we share. We see Jesus get angry, flip tables, we see him cry with his encounter with Lazarus. He gets scared, show fear, which we see in the Garden of Gethsemane. He spits on the ground in public, and he heals people's blindness, and spits some more, and sticks his finger in people's ear to heal them of their deafness, which we can see in the next passage, and many other things as well. He's not what most Jewish people of those times thought he would be. They had in mind, or in their imagination, this sort of Messiah or knight or hero that would come to overthrow overthrow the Roman Empire and liberate God's chosen people. But Jesus is a revolutionary and has come to save us all, but I believe by showing us to be a real human being. However, the most intriguing part in this text is not Jesus referring to this woman as a dog, but how this woman responds to Jesus. She doesn't argue, she doesn't fight him, or suggest to take half the bread of the children's, but rather says in verse 28, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumb." She acknowledges Jesus and his words and replies with "Sir," which in Greek is translated to "Kairos," which also means "Yes, Lord," which leads me to believe she is acknowledging Jesus' authority. This is the only instance in the Gospel of Mark that someone replies or says to Jesus, "Sir," or "Yes, Lord." Even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumb. In the Jewish faith of those times, a dog was unclean, a scavenger, and didn't live indoors. But outside of this region, in the foreign regions, such as Tyre, dogs were insiders. They lived indoors and were often given scraps to eat in the house. The hostility was real in these days. Even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumb. And then Jesus heals her daughter. And I believe that it's not only because of her response or her faith, her hope in Jesus that her daughter is healed, but also the strength, courage, and persistence that she has demonstrated during this eerie quarrel, which I believe that Jesus wanted to see and hear from this woman, or I argue, wants to see from us. You see, we all have a need in our lives. And Scripture is clear that Jesus is here for us. He is here with us. In this passage that we read, it says that Jesus came to this foreign region and came to this unknown house for this very moment. Not only just to come to this foreign region, but also to encounter this mother, who was determined to meet this Jesus and have him heal her daughter from this demon. She fell at his feet and begged. She wasn't going to leave without getting something from Jesus. She said she's not leaving without at least a crumb. This reminds me of how Jacob latched onto the angel of God as he wrestled with him all night long and refused to let go until he got something from this angel of God. But this time, it's not an Israelite. It's not a man, but it's a foreigner, a migrant, a woman, a mother. But she wasn't fighting or wrestling with anyone, but rather encountering this God-man named Jesus. I now know that my mother was given orders to leave the States back in 2002. On her own and by a specific date. And so she did that. My mother was deported despite her best efforts to stay in this country. But she didn't leave without receiving a crumb. She latched on for as long as she could. And that crumb was given to her, was me, Juan Carlos. You see, I'm the youngest of seven siblings and the only one to have been privileged to have been born in this country. My oldest sibling is 54 and my brother youngest next to me is 39. My mother was not expecting me when she migrated to America. She was 40 and my father was 46 years old when they came into this country. 4 years later, after leaving California to New York, I was born. I wasn't always perfect growing up, but thanks to my mother, I'm here in front of you all. And after 12 years of persevering and showing strength to get back into this country from El Salvador, she was granted to enter the United States legally 3 years ago, but after my father passing. You see, we all have a need, a want, or desire something. Society, institutions, workplaces, schools, media, and other places and other people will say some outlandish things to us, to people from all walks of life, from all backgrounds, from all faith, from all race. We see in the news what is happening in the southern border, overseas in Iraq, Syria. We saw what happened in Charlottesville and many other parts of America and the world around us where people have been brutalized by words and force and other forms of violence. But it's our hope and faith that will continue to allow us to encounter Jesucristo. And it's by our strength in God and perseverance that will get us through whatever difficult time you may, and I'm still am facing these days. Jesus is here. He's longing to encounter us. Just as he went to a foreign region, to a house, to meet this foreign woman, who also left her home too to encounter this Jesus. And even when we encounter God in our everyday lives, it can be a struggle. But we have to hang on. We must persevere. We must have faith. Jesucristo will heal us. Jesucristo will provide for us. Jesucristo is with us. Just remember, even if it's just a crumb that you or I receive, or if it's a taste or a glimpse of something that we've been longing for or desiring, the best is yet to come. To God be the glory. Amen.